Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
I want to talk to you. This is probably, I don't know if you remember or not. I don't know. Do you remember I preached a message, In It to Win It? Okay. This is going to be sort of part two of that. I've been reading this, you know, and Paul was really encouraging us about discipline, you know, ourselves and how that we're in a race, okay? You know, and how many know that we're on a journey, okay, so to speak. But with that, I think the Lord impressed on my heart to share some things that's present that we're going through. You know, and I don't say this to advocate fear, okay? I don't say this to for condemnation, but I do want to challenge you, okay? It's a little bit different, okay? I want to challenge you. Because with what's happening, you know, if we look in the world, a lot of things are happening in the world. And how many know the church has to begin to rise, okay, and take its rightful place, you know. And I just feel impressed by God to just assure some things. It's not so much, like I say, I'm not trying to indicate fear, because how many know God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and power and of a sound mind. But even though that God has given us that, how many know that we don't need to close our eyes to what's going on in the world? Because what's going to happen is, how many know we're living in the exciting time that the church probably has ever faced in my time. You know, and you say, why is it so exciting when all this stuff is going on? Because we know who has the answer. Amen? And how many know we're not going out defeated, but we're going out victorious. You know, Jesus is not coming back for a weak church, but a glorious church. Amen? A church that has been empowered by the Holy Spirit, that's doing the things and the works of God, that's standing up and taking its rightfully place. You know, and as I was praying this week, this is what I want to share with you. Have we, okay, when I say we, I'm including myself also. Have we let the lies of the enemy condition us that we won't believe the truth? It's just a question. You don't have to answer that, okay? Have we allowed the lies of the enemy condition us that we won't believe the truth? If someone is conditioned by their experience or environment, they are influenced by them over a period of time so that they do certain things or think in a particular way. So what the enemy does, he don't just all of a sudden show his hand. But he tries to condition. He conditions things by showing commercials, TV shows, cartoon characters, you know. And what's happening is he's trying to condition us to accept what he's trying to bring influence to our kids, to our marriage, to our homes. You know, but how many know that the devil is a liar? Man? Now, I want to read this to you. Condition. Anything called for a requirement before the performance. See, he don't wait. He's conniving, but he's kind of slipping things in, trying to condition us to accept what he's trying to do in the earth, okay? So he don't wait and just give it to you all at once, but he's conniving, you know. And it says anything called for a requirement before the performance or a competition of something else, provision, okay, provision or stipulations to impose conditions by contract. Okay? Now, we're talking about condition here. Hard work is a condition for success. I know that's not popular in our day and time. You know, we see more hiring advertisement now than I ever have in my life. Everywhere you go, hiring, okay? But see, then there is another condition that Paul tells us of, that we run in a race, but in order to obtain this race, we have to strive according to the rule. See, and God's condition, God wants to condition the church with his word, not with evil things. See, a lot of people think, if I do this, God will do this. How many know God is not out to try to bargain with you? See, he's not trying to bargain with us. He's already did for us more than we will ever imagine. I mean, he's done it all for us. I mean, there is nothing that God has not did for us to live victorious. Nothing, okay? But what happens a lot of times, we have been conditioned by this world system that when God begins to speak, sometimes we kind of want to know, is this really God? Is God really doing this? See, what we have to understand about the enemy is this. He's a liar, he's a thief, he's a destroyer, and he's a killer. Amen? And that's what he want to do. John 10 and 10 says, the thief come to steal, kill, and to destroy. But see, sometimes that you have to look a little bit deeper in that, because what his aim is to get us to stay, what he wants us to be empty of the life of God. So he want to keep us busy doing things when we don't need to have just do things to get God. We just have a relationship. Amen? See, he don't want us to try to get things. If I do this, if I do that. No, it ain't all about that. It's about relationship. And that's what Jesus came to do, is to restore us back to the Father. And when he restores back to the Father, I mean, you know, it's an ongoing relationship that we begin to condition ourselves according to the word of God. But see, there is an enemy that's trying to condition us in this hour that we don't want. He want to exclude God from the equation. And what he want to do is make us think we can do it without God. But in reality, we can't do it without God. Amen? But so what we have to do is, what do I need to do here then, preacher? You need to get your relationship intact with God. Amen. Why? Because that's going to determine whether I stand or fall. Amen? All right. So the word of God teaches us, according to Romans 12, verse 2, very familiar scripture. But you know something about familiar? Sometimes we get so familiar with it, it don't have its power like God designed it to. Why? Because we're familiar with it. Oh, yeah, I know that. Do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing. We can quote that scripture with our eyes closed, back, all these things, but we don't need to get familiar with that, because this is what the enemy is trying to do. See, what he really want to do is cause us to be squeezed into the mold of this world system. Amen? But the word of God says, do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So the enemy's attack is where? On the mind. If he can get you thinking that you can't make it, if he can get you thinking that you are not worthy enough, if he can get you thinking that I'm not good enough, I don't belong with nobody, if he can get us thinking that way, how many know that he's trying to condition us to ignore everything that God has did for us? So what he's really saying is, Paul is saying is, don't be squeezed into this age of doing things the way the world want it done. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, the mind, somebody told me the other day, the mind is a powerful thing. And it really is. Think about it. When you begin to think right, what happens? Things go right. When you begin to think defeat, what happens? Defeat comes. But just think about it now. I'm thinking this way. See, and the thing about it is, the Bible says that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So what we have to understand, the mind is a powerful tool. Do you realize because you are a child of God, you are separated from all other God's creatures, amen, and God loved you in spite of everything else he created. It was man that he wanted to come back and redeem. Now when I say man, that's woman and man, okay? Child, boy, girl, amen. That's how much God loved you. See, the Bible said God so loved the world that he what? He gave his only begotten son that whosoever believed in him should not perish but have what? Eternal life. Verse 17, God sent not his son into the world to what? Condemn the world or to judge the world, but that the world might be what? Saved through him. See, God don't want to condemn us. God want to, he want to have a relationship with you and I to the place to where we become one with Christ. Okay? Let me get my glass. Let me read ahead. Yeah, let's go. Let's look at this. I want to read this to you because this really caught my attention when I was studying this. Proverbs 23, verse 7, it says, For as he thinketh in his heart, himself or herself, so is he or she, okay? He says to you, listen, and this is the rest of this verse. He says to you, and drink, eat and drink, but his heart is not with you. So what is the world saying? Oh, come on, eat and drink. But do you know the world is not for you? Jesus said, if the world hates you, don't worry about it. It hated me first. And I know people say, well, yeah, but God created the world. But what he's talking about is that fallen nature, amen, the corruption that is in the world. He's not talking about the amusement park and those things that we can enjoy. But what he's saying is the influence that the world would try to bring you away from God. They're saying, come on, eat and drink. But how many know that when you begin to eat and drink, you take on the mindset of that? Okay? So, we don't want to allow the world to condition us because that's what's happening. I see it a lot of times. You know, how many know you can just sit back and just look and you can see how the enemy is trying to condition this thing. You know, when I came up, if that was a cuss word on TV, you got a beep, but now you don't even get the beep no more. See, that's where we're living at. See, and we got to understand that the condition that the enemy is trying to cause us to be, shaped us, amen, that's why Paul put in there. He said, don't be conformed to this age of this world, but be ye transformed by what? The renewing of your mind that you may prove or test what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, but what we have to understand as a church is that we're not in this. We're not fighting against flesh and blood. We got to come to the revelation of that we're not fighting with flesh and blood. Now, I'm going to tell you another thing the enemy is trying to do. He's trying to cause strife among the brethren. He wants to separate the brethren with strife. And how many know he's the chief aim of strife? That's part of his nature. He want to cause division. He want to cause us to be at one another. But we got to understand, we can't allow him to condition us that way. We must be conditioned with what? The fruits of the Spirit, as Pastor Terry has been preaching for the last few Sundays, that we got to allow this to govern us. See, that's what time we're living in, because what's happening a lot of times is that when you are conditioned, see, you know, you probably figure out my age when I tell you this experiment. But how many remember the experiment of the frog in the water? How many of y'all, got a few more, so I ain't in this alone. You know, so what they would do, I mean, when you got into sixth grade, you couldn't wait to get into sixth grade because you was going to get to see that experiment. And I never will forget, you know, they was pouring that water, you know, the warm water, and the frog, he just loving it. Little heat up the water a little bit more, and he just, see, they conditioning him for what? For this water, but guess what it was leading to? His death. See, and guess what the enemy want to do? He want to condition us. See, and the Bible said let me look at Proverbs 14 and 12. He said, there is a way which seemeth right to a man, but its end is the way of death. See, the condition that the enemy is trying to do is a way of death. See, he want to kill the influence that you and I have by the Holy Spirit. He want to condition us in a way to where it's not effective as it should be. See, you say, well, how can he do that? First of all, he wants us to be carnal Christians. See, want to be a carnal Christian. Well, you said you can't be a Christian, be carnal. Let's read Romans 8. You can be a carnal Christian. What do you mean by being a carnal Christian? Not benefiting from the abundant life that God said we could have. We're still living like mere men and women, amen, before we got saved. We're still locked into that experience of things before we got saved. We're still acting like babies, you know. We're still jealous and we're still strifing and we still say, mine, no, this is your, no. See, that's just being, what, carnal. But see, a carnal-minded Christian cannot please God. That's what the Bible says. But to be spiritual minded is life and peace. See, you want to know why you don't have peace? A lot of times, God has put peace in your spirit, man. But guess what? Because you're not growing and maturing, you're not benefiting from it. We've been conditioned to believe the lie instead of the truth. And when we believe the lie, guess what happens? We're not free. Well, the devil, I just can't shake the devil loose. I got good news for you. He ain't got no more power than you give him. He ain't got no more power than you give him. What you talking about, preacher? Oh, no, he got power. No, uh-uh. I got good news for you. The Bible said Jesus disarmed him. He stripped him of his power. And the Bible said he's translated you out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. Otherwise, God has set you free from the bondage that the enemy had on your life. He can no longer lord it over you if you don't allow him. The only way the devil can lord over me is I allow him. Why? Because Jesus defeated him. Revelation says, I have the keys of life, death, and the grave. I got the keys. I took his keys. He's tasted death for every one of us. And guess what he did when he tasted death? He destroyed the enemy. 1 John 3, verse 7 says, for the Son of God was manifest for this purpose, is that he would do what? Destroy the works of the devil. Another version says this way, he come to undo everything the enemy put on us. And he didn't halfway do it, church. He did it completely. Because when he went to Calvary, amen, he said, it is finished. Never to be repeated, never to be done again. I have did what God called me to do. I have stripped him of his power. He cannot stop the church anymore. The song says this morning that the gates of hell will not what? Prevail against his church. I need to calm down, John. prevail against the church. See, you are victorious, but it just because God did this for you, don't forget about there is an enemy that's trying to hinder you. And the way he's hindering the church a lot of time is with the lies that he's trying to do what? Condition us to accept his lies instead of the truth. What is the benefit of receiving the truth? I'm glad you asked. Jesus said this. He said, you would know the truth. Well, no, let me back up. Thank you. Jesus said this. He said to those Jews that believe in him, he said, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples. Did he not say that? I got it somewhere written down here. Okay? He said that in St. John 8:31. So Jesus was saying these words, saying these to those Jews who believed in him. If you continue in my word. See, well, what is the qualifier here? Continue. See, don't take a pit stop. And say, well, I've got it down packed right now. How many know that's the biggest thing? That's the biggest deception that we could ever say, well, I got it all together now. Because when you say that, guess what? You don't have it all together. But I've learned to do this right here. I've learned to say, I'm learning. And I'm continuing to learn. See, a disciple is a pupil, a learner. Okay? But the disciple also means this, that they take what's been instructed and they make it a part of their life or their conduct. A disciple also is one that's disciplined to carry out what his master has taught him, and his aim is to be just like his master. And Jesus said, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. To follow Jesus means to follow his teachings, what he taught. That's what it means to follow him. See, but the world is trying its best to do away with this, but guess what? He can't do away with it. He can't do away with it. There's been proven facts that he can't do away with it. They put it in a lion's den and the lions couldn't eat it. They put it in the fire and the fire couldn't burn it up. They put it in a grave and guess what? The grave couldn't hold it there. I'm telling you, there is something down on the inside of us that if we realize and begin to acknowledge this is who I am in Christ, I'm telling you, it's just like dynamite. Not like JJ, but I'm talking about dynamite. Amen. Stuff that would destroy. See, the enemy don't want us to come to the knowledge of these truths. That's why Jesus is saying, if you continue in my word, so you got to continue in the word of God. And I'm going to tell you one of the biggest lies the enemy is trying to convince believers is this. You don't have to pray. You don't have to read. You don't have to go to church. You're just going to get it. You know, God wants you to have it. You're just going to get it. How many know it don't work that way? God has an order and he has structure. Amen. And God's order is this. Don't forsake to assemble yourselves together in the house of God. Why? Because that's where you come to get taught. See, but I got to tell you this. Just think about this. What if God gave you the Spirit, not just for a shout, not just for a dance, but so you can go and do the works that he did and greater works. See, for a long time, the church thought, well, the power is just to have a good time and dance and shout, speak in tongues. But in reality, the power is given to us to display the kingdom to a dark and dying world so that they will see Christ in our lives and begin to say, hey, what is that? I want some of that. I take notice that these people have been with Jesus. It's all right to shout. Amen. You can dance without even feeling something. Why? Because there's good news about you. Amen. You're a new creature. He loves you. He cares for you. But guess what? If we just have a dance and a tongue, how many know we have failed God? Amen. Oh, I'm sorry. But you got to understand something. He want to condition you. And he's doing it, Lula. And what Jesus is saying, I want you to continue in my word. What is the benefit of continuing in the word? He said, if you continue in my word, then you are truly my disciples of mine. You are truly my disciples of mine. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. See, do you not know that the only way, now you can go through facilities, get help, we're not Xing that out, but true freedom only comes through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. True freedom. And the thing about it is we appreciate these facilities that assist and help people. We thank God for them. I believe they God sent so they can help people. But the bottom line is once you get clean, you got to get into the Word of God, because the Word of God is going to give you a foundation. Amen. Guess what? That same devil, that same demon that you got delivered from, he's going to come back. And guess what? If that house is empty, guess what's going to happen? That's right, brother. He brings some friends. But it don't have to be that way. Why? Because Jesus stripped him of his authority. Jesus disarmed Satan. And he did it for you and I, so that we could be free from every demonic force that tries to hinder my relationship with God. Amen? And what we have to understand, we got to come to the revelation. Say revelation. Revelation. We got to come to the revelation of who we are in Christ. Why? Because if we're in Christ, guess what? The greater one is on the inside of us. You know, I'm tired of just quoting that script, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I can preach that. I can say that. But you know what? I want the reality of that. I want the realness of that. That when I'm going through, I don't come unglued. When I'm going through, I don't go crying and pitching a fit. When I'm going through, I begin to do like James, say, count it all joy, John, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that there be no defects. See, what God is doing for us is something we can't do for ourselves. And that's allowing us to go through some hard times, because we won't choose to do it. But God said, I'm going to fix this thing so when you go through it, I'm proving to you who I am. He's too big of a God to lose. And guess what? When he wins, I win. Okay. So listen to this. He said, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And what that really implies is this, a very vital understanding, a revelation of a relationship between you and God. It's a relationship between what is known and the knower. what is known and the knower. Other words, when I come to one with that truth, to where it's just like breathing, it's so a part of me to where I am free. It sets me free. Number one, it sets me free from the lie of the enemy. When the enemy whispered to me and say, John, you're no good. I used to be no good. But I know everything God made was good. And it was very good. When God created me, when God created you and I in Genesis 1 and 26, when God created us, God said, it's good. Do you know God hadn't changed his mind? Because Ephesians says this, you are his workmanship, created in him so that you would do what? Bingo. See, there it is again. Good. I am persuaded by this, he which have begun a good work will complete that work until the day of Jesus Christ. For it is God who works in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do you realize you wouldn't even be thinking about God if he didn't save you? Amen. You would be so lost. All you could do is react to the creation or what people say God is like. But see, you don't have to worry about how people say God is like. You can know him personally. Because you have relationship. And that's what he wants us to do. He don't want us to let our minds get so caught up in this old world and this system and this culture that's trying to bring all these things to our kids and ourselves and all these things. But guess what? God said it ain't gonna happen. See, it ain't gonna happen. Why? Because the church is rising up. I'm telling you. There's a remnant of people that sharpen their swords. Bring it on. Yeah, bring it on. You come out to my kids, whoosh. You come out to my marriage, whoosh. I'm cutting it. Why? Because God has got people in place. See, God ain't sitting up there wringing his hands and wondering, what are they going to do? No, he know he got a people that's going to rise up and they're going to say, not so, devil. Not my kids, not my marriage, not my home, not my grandkids. Amen. How many know that we begin to get into that prayer closet? Sister Sonia was talking about. We getting in that prayer closet and we go to war. How many ever seen the war room? Amen. How many know it works? Amen. I'm a testimony. It works. Amen. And what we have to understand, church, I'm pulling it in. Is the reality that we get to experience God in such a way that it blows our minds. That's what I want. I want my mind to be blown by him. Because Jesus said, he says, in St. John 14 and 5, Thomas said unto him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How do we know the way? Jesus said this to him. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Now, that truth that he's talking about is the revealed reality that lays at the basics of agreeing with an appearance. Do you realize Jesus was fulfilling and he was testifying to the truth that the prophets had wrote about him? All he was doing was fulfilling what the prophets had prophesied about him. When he said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. How many know he was prophesying? I'm here now. I'm here now. Now it's our time. and Jesus have prophesied to the church through his apostles. And that's why Paul can say, he said, look, I'm not ignorant of his devices. Now, to bring that into full context, what Paul was really going through, he was going through forgiving. And he was saying, I forgive. You got to forgive. Why? Because when you don't forgive, the enemy will take advantage of that. But what Paul was saying, I'm not ignorant of his devices. I'm not ignorant of him trying to bring strife. I'm not ignorant of him trying to bring jealousy. How many know we feel those things, but how many know that's not who we are? Amen? I don't have to be jealous of the body of Christ. Why? Because they're part of the body. I don't have to feel left out. Why? Because I'm a part of the body. But what the enemy want to war and say, John, you're not a part. You're not this. You're not that. Shut up. I know who I am. And I know whose I am. I'm blood bought. I'm Holy Ghost filled. Amen. And I'm learning to be sanctified, not dignified. I'm learning. See, Paul said, I die daily. Take the pressure off of you and allow God just rest in him. Do you know, Jesus? Do you know God just wants his body to rest in him? I was telling somebody, and I know I got to close. I was telling somebody this the other day. I said, do you know why you need to rest and don't be wearied? Because Paul said, don't be wearied in what? In well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you faint not. And he went on to say, if you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap other flesh corruption. Sow to the spirit, you're going to reap life, right? So what we have to understand is Jesus said this. He said, Matthew 11:28, he said, come unto me, all you who are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn from me. It's a different word. He said, learn from me. So how do you learn from somebody? You watch their life. So when we read, we're learning from him how to rest, how to believe, how to trust, how to take him at his word. I mean, you know, it don't come easy, but it does come. Why? Because the enemy is fighting tooth and nails that you're not persuaded to believe what the words say. But I'm persuaded in some areas today that he's a God that would do just what he said. Amen? If he said I can be free, I can be free. Amen? Let me finish this and then I'm closing, okay? How many times have I said that? Y'all listening, right? Watch what you say, John. No. Okay, the truth, the reality, the life. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Life refers to the principle of life in the spirit. See, when you read Romans, you'll see this law at work, this principle at work. How many know that when you work the principles of God, you reap the life of God? Let me say that again. When you work the principles of God, you get the life of God. Some people say, well, no, you can get that by singing. You can sing, but how many know? You get the life from God himself. He's giving you his life. But what he's doing is making you aware of what his life is all about. That's what he's doing. We have his life in us, but he's making us aware of what the purpose of this life in us is all about. Okay? So, put my notes away. Don't mean a thing, do it? Yeah, do. I hope you got something out of that exaltation. Don't be conformed to this world. I know we've heard that. Don't get so familiar with that that you lose the revelation of what it really means. Because if the battle is going to be won, it's going to be won right here in our mind. Do you realize Jesus defeated Satan before he ever got on the cross? No, he didn't. He had to go to that cross. He whipped him in the garden. See, Jesus was reminded. You robbed him in the garden, but now I'm going to show you what it really is to be defeated in the garden. When he said, Father, not my will, but thine be done. That nailed it right there. When you and I say, Father, not my will, but yours be done, we are danger to the enemy. We're a danger to him. He don't want us to say that. You know why? Because we can choose. Because that will that God gives us, when we choose God, guess what God does? He said, you really didn't choose me, John, but I chose you. But I confirm when he chose me by yielding my will to his will. Am I going to feel some pain? Yes. But I lived it out long enough to understand now that that pain ain't forever. It is not forever. It is not forever. Have you ever had a scar that was healed, but it healed up, the pain and everything went away, but you still had the mark, but the pain wasn't there? We're going to see the marks, but the pain ain't going to be there. Why? Because when we go through things, it does hurt. It does irritate us. But guess what? We are victorious through him. God has given us the victory. We're not fighting from a position of defeat. We are fighting from a position of victory. Amen? It's just not a song, victory in Jesus. Amen? It's my lifestyle. It's my reality. He is my victory. And guess what? Because he won, we win. Amen? Stand to your feet. We want to encourage you this morning. How many of you feel the pressure that the enemy is trying to squeeze you into that, this stuff that's going on? Let me tell you what the Word of God is telling us to do. He's telling us to be alert and be on guard. For your adversary goes about seeking whom he may devour. He don't know if he can devour you or not, but he's testing you. But I'm telling you, today God is saying, get anchored in my word. Get anchored in my word. This is not just a religious thing that we're asking you to do. Your life will depend on your foundation with God. Amen? We got to get in the word of God. If you want the word of God, if you want God to really manifest himself, get in the word of God and watch what God does for you. Amen? Father, we thank you today, Lord. And God, we speak your word over your people, Lord. And God, your word says in Matthew's, Lord, that if we will hunger and thirst after righteousness, we will be filled, Lord. And God, we thank you for the payment that you have already paid through your son, Jesus, for us to have this great relationship with you, Father. And God, we pray, Lord, that you will strengthen us. God, that you would continue to reveal yourself to us, Lord. Flood us with your revelation, Father. And God, we'll humble ourselves and walk in this and die out to self and do the things that you're calling us to do, Father. So, Lord, as we depart from this place, but never your presence, watch over us and protect us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.